You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. We're speaking tonight on the issue of what would you do if you saw domestic violence taking place? Would you be a bystander and watch it take place? Or would you have the courage to intervene by calling the police or doing something to assist the person who was a victim of domestic violence? Our guest tonight on A Call to True Beauty is Donna Brock. She's the Director of Strategic Communications at Clark Atlanta University and also the convener of the Call to True Beauty campaign at Clark Atlanta University that addresses the issue of domestic violence. We do have a question that came in during the break from one of our off-air listeners. And the question is, Donna, that people see domestic violence and don't want to get involved because they feel it's none of their business and they don't necessarily want to get involved in someone else's relationship. How would or should you combat that feeling?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, what if this were me, or what if this were someone that I love being battered or abused or humiliated or harassed or stalked in public? I think the second thing you have to do is understand that when you are witnessing domestic violence, you are witnessing a crime. It is illegal. It is against the law. And people go to jail for this crime. It's not just an argument between a husband and a wife. It is, in fact, a crime. And so just as, and I want to reinforce this over and over, just as if you saw someone's purse being snatched, just as if you saw someone stealing an item from a store, it needs to be reported because it is a crime. And so understand that's when, you know, again, you don't put yourself in harm's way, but that's when you call 911 and let those who are trained, certified, and qualified handle the situation. Or in some cases, if you feel comfortable and you assess that it's safe, you can step in and handle the situation. And no one's asking you, you know, to go to war against an abuser. Sometimes it's simply saying to the victim, is there something I can do to help you? Are you okay?
Well, I also want to remind our listeners that we do have counselors standing by. If you believe that you've been the victim of domestic violence, or if you are a perpetrator of domestic violence and you wish to seek help or anything of that nature, we do have counselors standing by here in the studio to assist you in any way that we can to address the issue of domestic violence. Tonight we are talking about the bystander effect. Are you a person who would stand by and watch domestic violence taking place? Or would you be willing to intervene and to stop that act of domestic violence from happening? Please give us a call if you'd like to join our conversation. You can call us at 404-880-9255. Donna, when we talk about the bystander effect, it's really not a new concept. I know it was initially reported or became a concept in 1964, actually, in the Catherine Kitty Genovese case. And if you recall, she was a 28-year-old who was returning home from work. As she approached her apartment entrance, she was attacked and stabbed by a man later identified as Winston Mosley. But what was most compelling about the case, even as far back as 1964, is that despite Miss Genovese repeatedly calling out for help, and Kitty trying to get people to respond, none of the dozen or so people that were in the nearby apartment building who heard her cries would call the police to report the incident. It occurred at 3:20 in the morning, definitely something that would wake people up and would cause them to become engaged. But it wasn't until, I think the incident occurred around 3:20, it wasn't until about 3:50 in the morning, approximately 30 minutes later, that people decided that they might want to start calling the police. What do you think causes that? Why are we having that 30-minute delay when someone's at risk, when we could have easily just called 911 and put that person in a situation where the police could respond?
Well, you know, you can read all kinds of journal articles and reports, and they say that people are shocked. They have, you know, flight or fright. They decide it's none of their business. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to be nosy neighbors. There are any number of reasons. I personally call them excuses. Because if someone is in danger, then that requires us as thinking, compassionate human beings to help. I remember when my friend Karen was dragged out of her house. And of course, I was at work because it happened at the beginning of a work day. She had taken her children to their schools. Her husband, against whom she had a restraining order, followed her into what used to be their home. He once again began beating her and attacking her. And this was the reason for her divorce. It had gone on years previously, and no one knew. Mm-hmm. He dragged her out of her home into a neighborhood full of senior citizens and subsequently killed her on the driveway.
And nobody called.
Nobody called. No one called. It just so happened that a family member was coming to stop by the house, and things unfolded from there. Family member discovered her. Quite honestly, the thing that bothered me was that in the last moments of her life, she was crying out for help, and no one responded to that call. And so as compassionate human beings, we have to put those people that we love in that situation. And it really does become a moral issue. What would you want someone to do to help your loved one if you couldn't be there and they were in that situation?
You're listening to A Call to True Beauty on WCOK. I'm speaking with Donna Brock. She's the Director of Strategic Communications at Clark Atlanta University and the convener of the Call to True Beauty campaign, a campaign at Clark Atlanta University designed to teach the students and others that the university comes in contact with about healthy relationships. We do have a caller, Hugh in Marietta. Hugh?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. I just remember when I was in high school and it was on an Army base, and it was a couple that got into a fight at the store where I was working, and I intervened and called the police, but by the time the police got there, it turned on me, and she was, the woman that was being abused was upset that I called the police. So ever since then, I've just been hesitant on intervening in a situation.
Well, what do you say about that, Donna? You know, the person you're trying to help doesn't want the help. So, you know, thanks for your call, Hugh. Okay. And that really is what he's saying. You know, I'm trying to help this person who's a victim of domestic violence, and I'm doing the right thing by calling the police, but then the tables are turned and now they're looking at me like I've done something wrong.
Whether or not the person wanted the help, I want to let you know, Hugh, that you absolutely did the right thing, because it's important that police are able to document the incidents of domestic violence, particularly if this is a recurring case or if it turns out to become a recurring case. It's always better to ask for help. Now, we always have to be very cognizant that in some cases, a woman or a man who is abused does not want to upset their abuser. And that's a reality of domestic violence. You've now embarrassed me in front of the neighbors. You've called the police. You've made a spectacle. Now I'm really upset. It's important to understand that in this day and age, unfortunately, I have to tell you, we have a wonderful relationship with the Atlanta Police Department. Under their domestic their special victims unit, they actually have a trained domestic violence squad. And so there are officers who are trained and know how to handle these situations, often with the finesse that it requires. But even they will tell you that domestic calls are some of the most dangerous calls that police get because emotions do run so high. So it's always better to ask for help, because at the end of the day, even if you've made the abuser upset, the police need to know that there's a victim in that home. That's critical, because the biggest problem with dating and domestic violence is that it is a crime that is so easily hidden. People need to know there's a victim in that home. And again, just as with Lynn at the shopping center, when an abuser knows that their eyes trained on him, our hope is that his behavior will change.
And thank you so much, Hugh, for your call. We definitely appreciate you being willing to say what it looks like if the tables are flipped. And I will say and remind you of what Donna talked about earlier, that it does take victims anywhere from 7 to 8 times before they leave that circumstance. So a lot of times they are not even aware of the extent to which they might be being abused when you intervene. But at least that might trigger in them, wait a minute, if somebody thinks this behavior is unusual, maybe it's something I should start Absolutely. To think about. We have another caller on the line, Jordan M. in Atlanta.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I'm calling to ask about what if the person's threatened? What if the person's threatened you?
Okay. What if the person? Which person threatened you?
Threaten you, like, you know, because I've been in a situation where I've in the domestic violence where I got threatened. You know, I work for somebody and they're supposed to pay me. And instead of they paying me, they threaten me that they're going to pay somebody to shoot me.
Okay, so you're saying you were attempting to intervene in a domestic violence situation and that the person threatened you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things I know that Donna mentioned earlier was trying to make sure that if you're going to intervene in the actual domestic violence incident, making sure you can do that in a way that's safe. And if you cannot, you know, intervene in a way that's safe, again, not trying to physically stop people necessarily, but you may say to the person, is everything okay? Do I need to call for help? Any other recommendations, Donna?
I think sometimes, you know, even if you can't stop the situation, remove yourself and call someone who can. Again, you know, the three most important numbers in domestic violence, in acute incidences of domestic violence, are often 911. You know, it's not necessary for you to stop the situation if it's going to put, you know, if it's putting yourself in harm's way. I think, too, though, what you have to understand is the important thing is to make sure that the abused individual gets the help they need, even if you can't help them in that moment. One of the things I do is I have a set of cards in my office with numbers for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Verizon Wireless has its helpline number. And so if you are a Verizon Wireless subscriber, you can, in fact, dial #HOPE, and you will be connected to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And I often leave these cards in one of the very few places where an abused woman may actually have some privacy, and that's the ladies' room. So if you ever go to the mall or shopping center or a grocery store and you see one of those cards with the call to True Beauty on it, and inside you'll find the numbers for PADV, National Domestic Violence Hotline, Hope Line from Verizon Wireless, I've probably hit that spot and put cards there. Sometimes it's just getting the right information into a person's hand. There are ways to help without putting yourself in harm's way, but the important thing is that you know morally and as a responsible citizen that you've done all you could to help someone who really needed the help.
Thank you for your call, Jordan. We actually have another caller, Terry in Atlanta. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. I was listening to your station and just wanted to call in to say that I was a victim of domestic violence and grew up in a household with domestic violence. I am divorced, could not stand that situation nor raise my sons up in that situation, which are doing well at this time. But I lived across the street in a subdivision where it seemed like 1 out of 10 women were getting beat and nobody knew it. And on one particular day, I could hear somebody screaming, help me, just to find out it was a neighbor across the street who had been beaten and raped repeatedly for a couple days. And my husband at that time told me not to go in, but I did go in to find that that was the situation with her and found her son in the house at the time, too. And she had been locked in a room, repeatedly raped and beaten with a gun with the child there. So I was able to go in and talk to the husband to let her out. He later let her out. They're divorced. The child is doing well. But, you know, not only that, I did move. And later to find this man standing in my front door saying that I had cost him his wife and son. But at the same point, I was not a wimp anymore, so I did have to call the police and take matters into my own hands. And from that point on, I've never had any more trouble, and that's been several years.
Terry, we appreciate your call. I think one of the things that you mentioned was the fact that you were willing to intervene, and it felt like it was a safe environment for you to be able to do that. And the other thing I think that you also said is that I want us to make sure that we talk to the listeners about is the person saying you cost me, my wife, and son. And what we want people to be very clear about is everybody makes a choice on whether they want to engage in domestic violence or not. So nobody can make you hit them, make you push them, make you spit on them, make you do anything else that's demeaning to them. That's an independent choice that a person makes. And so what we want to make sure is that perpetrators understand that they're accountable for their own conduct. It is not your responsibility or anybody else's to ensure that they not engage in inappropriate conduct.
Absolutely. I want to thank you as well, Terry, for your courage and your conviction. And I am so delighted to hear that you have transitioned out of your own abusive situation. One of the things we know, particularly when the children in the household who witness dating and domestic violence, is that those children are not only victims of that crime, but they're also likely to grow up thinking that that's normalized behavior. So not only did you help yourself and you help your neighbor, but you helped your children and her children as well. And that's so critical, particularly when they're children in the situation. And again, I so appreciate that you were willing to put yourself on the front lines. But it's also very critical to understand that when the abuser confronted you, you then knew to call in the police. You did not put yourself in harm's way.
Not at all.
Thank you so much for calling us, Terry, tonight, and also for your courage. You are listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. If you would like to join our conversation tonight, you can call us at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. The topic tonight, the bystander effect. If you saw domestic violence taking place, would you be willing to intervene in that domestic violence incident? One of the things that Terry brought up that I want us to talk about a little bit further, Donna, is she said, you know, she was in a neighborhood where she felt like 1 out of 10 women were being beaten in that particular neighborhood. And we know statistically 1 out of 4 women nationwide will be a victim of domestic violence. And we also know that oftentimes those result in fatalities. And
Absolutely. So
we want to intervene to in some way try to prevent that person from having a fatality. She brought that statistic to you, what does it say about the bystander effect? How many people do you think sat by and watched nothing take place, didn't call anybody, didn't do anything before Terry had the courage to call?
Let me answer your question with another statistic that came from the Department of Justice, and I think probably about 15 years ago now. I don't remember the exact date. But one of the things that always blows me away is that if you look at women in the United States between the ages of 15 and 45, the incidence of domestic violence and the injury caused by domestic violence in that segment of the population is greater than cancer deaths, automobile accidents, and muggings combined.
Wow.
Every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is battered or abused. Every 9 seconds. And so, you know, for that number to have persisted over time, because dating and domestic violence is so easy to hide, it happens behind closed doors. You know, it's not typically something that happens in front of a crowd. My estimation, and of course there's no official number on this, but we know that the crime is typically underreported. You know, and even when you're talking about domestic violence where women are the abusers and men are abused, we know those numbers are underreported. You know, it's underreported for religious reasons. It's underreported for cultural reasons. It's underreported for, you know, immigration reasons. There are all kinds of factors that keep people from really intervening and stopping what is, at the end of the day, at the bottom line, a crime. And so one of the things that we want to do in this movement to eradicate dating and domestic violence is to help people understand, regardless of whatever you think the mitigating circumstances may be, what you're witnessing when you see an act of dating and domestic violence is a crime, no different than hubcaps being stolen or a purse being snatched or, you know, a child being kidnapped off the street. Dating and domestic violence is a crime. One of the things that really bothers me, too, and I want to mention this on the air, there seems to be of late a rash of video, videotaped, and they're all on YouTube and other video channels, videotaped incidences of dating and domestic violence. And I can think of no better example of the bystander effect, because no one's running to call the police. In these particular videos, no, someone is just literally standing there watching. In the instances that I've seen most recently, women being beaten.
And videotaping it,
not calling the police, not asking for help, not trying to stop the incidents, but videotaping it as entertainment. And I can think of nothing more barbaric than this video bystander effect.
I'm Daphne Walker, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. You're listening to The Call to True Beauty. My guest tonight is Donna Brock, the Director of Strategic Communications at Clark Atlanta University and the convener of The Call to True Beauty. And we're talking about the bystander effect tonight. We have a call from Kate in Decatur.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Now, I've come into this a bit late, so I don't know if I've missed any conversation around this, but I wanted to talk a little bit about domestic violence, and you just touched on it a second ago about, you know, women actually being violent against men, which is what was happening in our household when we were children. And so are you offering up any resources to help children who might be in those situations? Obviously, I'm an adult now, so at the time, you know, I don't even know that that would have seemed kind of abnormal for us. You know, I think that was kind of normal life at the moment. So it'd be interesting to hear if you have anything to offer children that are out there in that instance.
Kate, thank you so much for your call. I will first advise that I am the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and we do provide shelter services for women and children who are victims of domestic violence. We also provide services for men who are victims of domestic violence. We do not provide it in our shelters, but we provide them with hotel stays, you know, get them in contact with agencies that can get them vouchers, something like that, to get them out of that situation. And we also provide counseling for children and therapy for children that might have been exposed to or actual victims of domestic violence because of physical, emotional, or any type of other sexual or financial abuse. And so what I want to do, we do have counselors that are here in the studio. And just so you're aware, we have counselors on every one of our segments whenever we're on the air talking about this very important issue of domestic violence. We make sure that we have counselors on hand to be able to respond immediately to what your concerns are. And so what I am going to do is transfer you to a counselor from the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. So if you will stay on the line, she'll be speaking with you in just a moment to make sure that you can get access to the resources that you believe you might need, even if they're for you, because I appreciate you being willing to share the fact that you are a survivor of domestic violence, or if they're for children that you think have been exposed and need to be able to discuss the impact that being a victim of domestic violence has had on them. And we want to give you the opportunity to do that. So what I'm going to do, and we're going to go for a break, and we'll, if you will stay on the line, we'll make sure you transfer it to one of our counselors so that you can be put into contact with those services. And thank you so much for your call. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
That was the last time. He won't hit you again. You're leaving right now. How many times have you come to that point, but you don't know where to go? So you stay. He's sorry. He bought you something pretty. But this time, you do know where to go. PADV, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, can offer you the essentials of life. Food, clothing, shelter. If you need help, call 404-873-1766.
This message is made possible by Verizon Wireless and WCLK.